Bloomberg, the first word, with Karen Moscow and John Bascom. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Jane Foley, she's a senior currency strategist at Rabobank International in London. Good morning to you, Jane. And I guess we should start with Ukraine because it is the story of the moment, although you really don't see it in any of the major pairs this morning.
No, you don't. I mean, this has been quite interesting. There's been a topic running really for the last few months, and that is, you know, is the market underpricing the risk coming from Russia and the Ukraine? And certainly if you look at the energy that comes through Ukraine into Europe, then you begin to see that there is risk for price increases potentially, for a slowdown in growth in Europe if that does happen. But I think the markets have been quite simplistic on this, and if there is the threat of military action, then I think that's what the markets will be concerned about. But really, for the last couple of months, there is this perception that no side really wants any degree of military conflict. And from that point of view, the whole conflict, the whole tensions have certainly taken a back seat.
Well, let's play what if, just in case something were to go wrong. Obviously, if there were some sort of serious escalation, you would see the yen strengthen, the dollar strengthen, the haven currencies. But what else would you play? Would you look to European, maybe Eastern European currencies to be hit the worst?
Well, quite possibly. I mean, often it will be the case that the currencies that have a border of Ukraine, you could expect to see a knee-jerk reaction. However, you know, once you take a country like Poland and you look through its trading links, its direct trading links, actually you might come to the conclusion that perhaps it would be a little bit more insulated than you'd first of all think. So maybe a knee-jerk reaction and then some recovery depending on the fundamentals of the country that you were looking at. But I think if you're looking at potential for safe haven, I think the euro becomes really interesting because this year we have seen the euro certainly perform with some safe haven characteristics. And certainly if that is the case, then it means that there's probably going to be maybe a little bit less demand for the Swiss franc, with euro-based investors potentially happy to stay in at the euro because, of course, over the last 2 years, there's been a perceived improvement in eurozone fundamentals.
But that's an interesting argument because it sounds to me, tell me if I'm wrong, like you're suggesting that if we see a safe haven euro move, it will be in that the euro does not move, doesn't really strengthen, but it maintains its rate because people don't switch out of it.
I think that's exactly why. I mean, if you think about the eurozone, there's a very comfortable current account surplus, suggesting that there are a lot of euro-based investors, and perhaps now they would be happier to stay in it. Now, I mean, again, this is a really interesting point because, for instance, over the last few weeks, there's been this threat of potential quantitative easing from the ECB. And often you think, well, that's more monetary easing, that should weigh on a currency. But actually, if it means that there's going to be even more demand for peripheral assets, and of course that has certainly stemmed or increased in recent months, perhaps then the euro will strengthen even more. So there's lots of factors right now which do seem to be pushing into euro strength.
It sounds like Monsieur Draghi is on the horns of a dilemma a little bit here.
I think he certainly is, and to be honest, I think right now there's only one thing that really can guarantee euro-dollar going lower, and that would be dollar strength. So in certain respects, I think Draghi is probably very much watching the U.S. data and hoping for a cyclical improvement in U.S. growth in the second quarter.
Well, that raises the question then of what happens on the 8th of May when the ECB meets. Do we get more talk from Draghi as he buys time?
I think more talk is almost certain. I mean, we had more talk yesterday. We will certainly have more talk in the next few weeks. Talking is costing him nothing right now, so I certainly think that we will do that. But in terms of policy measures, the difficulty for the ECB is that with accommodation or monetary policy positions so accommodative already, will any more measures really make a difference? Now, I think perhaps in June they may announce another small cut in the refi rate. But really, will that really help? Will it really weaken the euro? And as I say, there's only one thing that can guarantee to move euro dollar lower, and that would be if U.S. data were to strengthen. And there, again, was this perception that perhaps the Fed funds rate could be going up a little bit sooner than the market's currently anticipating.
Can't let you go without getting a very quick comment on what happened in Denmark exiting their negative interest rate regime, one of the few countries ever to try that. There's been talk of it in Europe. Did we learn anything from Denmark, or is it an isolated case?
I think Denmark is such a small economy that it's very difficult to learn lessons. I mean, what we learned is that, you know, a central bank can maintain a negative interest rate scenario. But again, you know, you could say, well, that means that the ECB could do it too. But the ECB, of course, Europe or the Eurozone is so much larger a region that maybe the lessons learned are really quite limited.
Jane Foley.
Bloomberg, the first word. Weekday mornings at 5 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014. Bloomberg LP.